Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Well, how many people here is that this is your favorite time of the year, springtime? How many is the favorite time of the year? My favorite time of the year is fall, but spring's probably my second favorite. In fall, I think of apples, because we get to pick fresh apples in the fall, late summer. But what goes into making an apple? How would you start out? I'll ask Diane, how do you start out making an apple?
You have a seed.
So you start with a little seed. When you talk about apples, Diane, is it something that the seed will produce in days, weeks, months, or years?
Probably years.
So if you have a vision or a dream that you want to have an apple tree and you want to be able to pick your own apples out of your own yard, it takes years of preparation, years of that dream to come to fruition to be able to have an apple. For me, I just drove to Kendallville and picked it up, but but we have some apple trees too, and we're not very good managers of our apple trees. We don't spray them nearly as often as we should. We don't prune them nearly as often as we should. So we struggle to make good apples at our place. We have good apple trees, we're just poor managers of our apple trees. But so to produce an apple, it takes years for that dream. If you had thoughts of that, producing an apple or any type of fruit similar to an apple, it's going to take years of preparation, years in advance, to take that dream and make it a reality. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, about dreams and visions that you may have or I may have for my future. Things that God may have inspired you and put on your heart that you maybe want to accomplish, maybe a ministry, maybe a goal, but something that God put, really placed on your heart. In our society today, a lot of the times we want instant gratification. We want to see results right now. And Tammy and I were talking about a podcast that we listened to, and we listened to it separately, and she stays more current on it than I do. And I told her yesterday, we were talking about it, she goes, did you listen to this one? I said, no, they're 50 minutes long, and I don't have 50 minutes to listen. You know, if it was like 20 minutes, I could listen to it. It's 20 minutes long. But I can't even give myself 50 minutes to devote to listen to this. And I enjoy listening to it, and I get encouragement from it, but I want something quicker. I need it 20 minutes long, not 50 minutes long. And so a lot of times in our life, we'll have a dream or a vision. If we don't see it right away, you know, we're really discouraged that it didn't happen. You know, because we thought, well, I just really thought the Lord was behind this, and you know, next week it's going to happen. We're going to take a look at a couple things in the Bible today that took years in the making. And in our perspective, you look at it and you think, wow, it just seems like it would have happened quicker. But we're going to look at a couple examples in the Bible today that dreams and visions that God had provided somebody, but it took years to happen. And kind of encourage us, those that are having dreams and visions of things that we think God wants us to do, or we want that you think is going to happen in your life that God's inspiring. And if it hasn't happened yet, don't be discouraged, because we're not on God's same timing. And we don't understand why things happen the way they do, or why they take as long as they do, or maybe that they happen quicker than we thought they would. But I hope that through the reading today that we can be encouraged that God's going to do it in God's time. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this season, and it reminds us of the new things, the new possibilities. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the cross. We thank you for the new gift that you had given us on an Easter Sunday. And Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for that's open to all mankind, that saving grace of Jesus Christ. And we know it happened in your timing. We know that men were here on earth for many years before that happened. And Heavenly Father, we just I ask that we get a blessing today from the examples that you've given us in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First one we're going to look at today is found in Genesis chapter 37. This is the story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to kind of skim through several chapters of Joseph just to kind of hit some timelines in his life. But Genesis chapter 37, I want to establish, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending flocks with his brothers. So I just want to establish that Joseph was 17 years old. He was 17 years old. Skip down to verse 11. Oh, I skipped too far. Verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were building sheaves out of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" They hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Joseph had a dream, and as we continue on, we'll see that it was God-inspired, that he had a dream of something that was going to happen, that his family was going to bow down to him, that he would be the greatest among his family. When he shared it with his family, he didn't get any encouragement. There was no, "Oh, this must be from God. This must be heavenly sent." They were all mad at him. And so he had a heavenly dream, but earthly family. So he received no encouragement for this dream. So have you had that in your life, where maybe you had a dream but didn't get encouragement for it? Possibly. I mean, possibly you could have something God inspired that made other people mad around you, like this, where it was with Joseph. So we're going to go through, so we know God's intention with Joseph, that his family is going to bow down to him. He doesn't know how, doesn't know when, doesn't know where, but he just knows this is going to happen. This, God reinforced it two times, two dreams. So you'd think, in my mind, okay, he's got this dream, his family's going to bow down to him. Well, God's hand's upon him, so surely his life is just going to be nothing but success. Everything in his life's going to be great, because God's hand's upon him and this is going to happen. Well, jump down to verse 24. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing. They took him and threw him into a cistern. The cistern was empty and there was no water in it. So his brothers are mad at him. They wanted to kill him, and they threw him in a pit. They talked about killing him. Verse 28, they sold him to the Midianites. Verse 36, the Midianites sold him to Potiphar. So now he's a slave. Again, I would think, well, God's hand is upon me. I should have nothing but success. My family's going to bow down to me. Now here I am. My brother sold me off into slavery, and now I'm a slave. But in his mind, he still knows that God gave him this vision. He gave him this dream. Let's jump over to chapter 39. Chapter 39, now he's working for Potiphar. And in verse 20, he's working for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to rape her. And so in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in a prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So now in his life, he's been wrongly accused of a crime that he didn't commit, and he was thrown into a prison. So far, I don't think things are going that great for our hero of the story, that God gave him a vision and all these bad things have happened to him. And as we read through it, we know he still had a good attitude. When he was in Potiphar's house, he became successful. In prison, we know that he became successful and he was helping run the prison. So everything, every instance that Joseph's been put in so far, when you read through the story, he's had a positive attitude, even though he's been in negative places. Jump over to chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 12. Leading up to verse 12, since he was in the king's or Pharaoh's prison, he had met the king's cupbearer and another one of the baker in the prison, and they had dreams, and so he was interpreting their dreams. In verse 12, it says, "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up, or lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do it when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in the dungeon." So at this time, when you look at the timeline, he's about 28 years old. So 11 years now since he had the dream. When he was around 17, he had the dream. Sold into slavery, sold again into slavery, put in prison. It's been 11 years. Jump over to 41, verse 1. "When 2 full years have passed," Pharaoh had a dream. So now we're 2 more years into it. Now he's 30, 13 years after he had the dream. And he spent a lot of that time in prison. Most of the time as a slave. So 13 years. So Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer finally remembered him. In verse 9 it says, "Then the chief cupbearer said to the Pharaoh, 'Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him our dreams, he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So 13 years later, so this still isn't getting Joseph anywhere close to what his dream was, but he's interpreted other dreams. Skip down to 41, 46 in his life. So 41, verse 46. So by now, Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And verse 46 says, "Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the king, or Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land was plentiful. Joseph collected all the food produced in the 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure." So now during this time, he was 30 when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh put him in charge because there was going to be 7 years of abundance and then 7 years of famine. So after 7 years of this, now he's 37. This is 20 years. 20 years have passed since he had a dream that his family was going to bow down to him. Well, then we see through chapters 42 through 46 is the amazing story that he is brought back to his family. So after the 7 years of abundance, there was famine everywhere. So I would imagine it would have took a couple years for the rest of the land to run out of food. And by the time his brothers and family were out of food, and they came to Egypt to seek out food because they knew the Egyptians had food. Well, by now, Joseph had to have been 39 or 40 years old. So it had to have been about 23 years, approximately, that he had the dream and it actually came true, that it was fulfilled. But his family did come to him and they did bow down to him to basically to beg for food, and they didn't know who he was at first until he revealed himself to them. But just keep in mind, God inspired a dream and it took 23 years before it came true. I want to take a look at David also. If we turn to 1 Samuel, let's jump into 1 Samuel chapter 16. First Samuel chapter 16. This is the time that Saul was king. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13. So they're looking for a new king. Saul was the anointed king. He was king. And now they're looking for the next one, his replacement. So Samuel looked at all of Jesse's family, and none of them were the ones that were to be king. And so he asked if they had any more, and they said, yes, we have another son. He is the youngest. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, this is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. From that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerful upon David. Samuel then went on to Ramah. So it's estimated that David could have been around 15 years old at this time. So he might have been around 15 years old, but he was a young man. And they said a few years went by. When he was between 15 and 20, it's estimated that he fought Goliath. And we all should be aware of the story of Goliath, that nobody else wanted to fight Goliath. They were afraid of him, but David, full of the Lord, said, we can take him, and he did. Well, from that time, Saul became jealous of David, and Saul wanted to kill David. But remember, David was anointed to become king. So can you imagine, you're anointed to become king, you know you're going to be the next king, but now Saul's trying to kill him. He threw spears at him, he chased him, he had his soldiers chase him. Wherever David went, Saul went to try to kill him. And then in 2 Samuel 5 verse 4, yeah, 2 Samuel. Five, four. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel 33 years. So he was 30 when he became king over Hebron. And 5:5, and Hebron, in Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem he reigned over all Judea 33 years. So he wasn't king over all of Israel until 7 years later. He was 37. So God anointed him to be the next king when he was approximately 15 years old, and he was 37 years old when it finally happened. 22 years later. So 22 years later, this happened. So I think about our dreams and my dreams, things that I thought were going to happen and things that I think should happen tomorrow or maybe next week or next year. How many of our dreams that we think need to happen right away because we're impatient people, that maybe God is working and building us up for something to happen? Both of these men had a lot of trials through their lives, a lot of negative things, a lot of things that they worked through, a lot of emotions. But in the back of their mind, they both knew God had a purpose for me. God was going to do some works with me. Even through the positive and negative cycles in their life, God still had a plan for them, and God still had a vision that was going to be fulfilled. So my encouragement to you today is, if you have a dream or you feel like God has inspired something more for your life or something that you're going to be a part of, and as it hasn't happened yet, maybe it's just not God's time yet for that to happen. Both these guys, it's over 20 years before it happened, what God said was going to happen. So sometimes we just need to be patient with God because God's working through things and maybe working things through us that's still going to happen. But in our life, sometimes we expect it, like I said, to happen now. And sometimes it doesn't happen now. The last example I want to share with you was that of Jesus. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry clay or dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we were healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us had turned into our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers is silent. He did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of this generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Though the Lord makes his life an offering for our sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So in Isaiah 53 was the foretelling of Jesus and what was going to happen to Jesus during Easter. That was approximately 700 years before Jesus came. Now this, he didn't have to foretell it. Jesus could have came right then. It could have happened back then. But he waited 700 years for that to happen. Again, we see God's going to do it in his time. And so when God has a vision or God has a dream that he inspires you, it's going to happen in his time, not your time. So I want to encourage you with that today. That the Savior of the world came in God's time. That Jesus came and walked the earth in God's time. And things in your life are going to happen in God's time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for these people. And Heavenly Father, we just pray as we seek you, that we understand it's your timeline. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that you work in us. And Heavenly Father, just bring us to that understanding and to be patient. And Heavenly Father, we know that you have dreams for us and you have visions for us to do good things in your name. Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the honor today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.